Thanks for bringing it up. Hello, Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Morning, Mr. Johnson. How are you?
I am fine, sir. And how are you?
I am fine, too. I just want to make a few comments. I would have heard not a while ago, someone was on the line, we were talking about the light and power and the bill.
The bill.
No, I would like Barbadians to, when they get the bills, the light and power bills, read them. And I am one of the Barbadians that is convinced that light and power is doing a lot of things in this country. And get away with them, and then explain. I would say that, and if I recall you, I'll probably explain to you based on an experience that I would have had with them a little while ago. What I'm saying, when you get your light bill, you would realize that your white light bill may be up in the 70s and 80s. But if you look at the sections of payment, you would realize that the energy cost, which is the light and the electricity that you are using inside, that your resources is pulling from the company, maybe at $16 the fuel charge will be something maybe like $25 or $30, and then the VAT, and you will realize that that bill of energy which you would have used that is only $16 between the VAT and the fuel charge move up to $60 or so. I would like somebody explain to me and the people of Barbados why I should be using $16 in energy. And for some reason, I can be paying $25 or $30 in fuel, which is more energy cost than what I am using. I'm using paying for fuel. Those are the things that cause the problems within those bills.
Sir, the Barbados Light and Power Company Limited is a regulated company. They asked at some point to have the fuel charge taken out of the total bill so it could be used as a separate line on their bills, because the price of fuel fluctuates. Their use of fuel depends on demand, and it was a better gauge to show the public what is causing the bills to go up and down by having the fuel clause separated from your energy cost. Okay? The Fair Trading Commission approved it, and they've been doing it over a period of time. They have taken out notices in the newspaper. They have various programs, some of them on radio, explaining the differences in fuel charge. Now, there are times that I have questioned, when does the high-speed fuel, the more fuel-consuming generators go into effect, how often it's used, why it's used, when it's used, and those are questions that we've posed to the Light and Power Company over a period of time, and their PR's department, they've responded sometimes in the press, sometimes on radio, sometimes in their programming. The good thing that I'm saying, this is the good thing about the Light and Power Company, is that when you ask questions, they note the questions and they try to answer them. And that's why I said to the person who sent the WhatsApp message, if you have a problem with how the bill is, the changes in the bill, take it to them and have them explain it to you on an individual basis if you don't get it. Someone sent me a bill that showed a breakdown of exactly how their charges were. And as you said, their fuel charge is the highest component of the bill, let me put it that way. So what happens? And again, from the PR people talking to us over a period of time, is that they say there are certain times of the year when there is a greater demand for the generation of electricity, and because of how many generators they have to put into operation and how much fuel that consumes, your fuel charge goes up in addition to whatever the cost of fuel is at that time. No, that's what they got from the regulators, okay? So when you talk about the company doing what it wants, they only do what the regulators allow them to do. Because if they break the regulators' guidelines, that's who will pull them up. There's the bill I was looking for, popped up right here at me.
Yeah.
Go ahead, sir. Yeah. You were telling me.
Yes, you see, Mrs. Joy, my whole thing is that whenever you look at these things, the question arises, well, them don't pay for nothing at all, of course. When you're done with the fuel and you pay the fuel, let me go and to look at. So I understand what you are saying. And I believe that these are things that need to be rethinked. And I think that this is where we need a real, strong, proper consumer body in this country. Because I could remember in 1973, I went to England. And port in England, I went up by 2 pence. And I went to the supermarket with my sister in London, and people, they were getting paper stain against 2 pence, which I was saying was might have been a penny at the time, in Barbados. I know the poor can went up. We need a consumer body in Barbados that will fight in the interest of the consumers of this country. Because when you go and you regulators get them the right to do this and do that, at the end when you look through the lines, you are seeing where you are at the disadvantage more.
Sir, I want to tell you that the challenge, I see this challenge all the time, and when I see the challenge, I duck. The problem with setting up anybody in Barbados, we had a consumer body for the longest while. I think it still exists. Well, you see, there you go. And then we had someone who said they were setting up another one, and I didn't hear anything about it after it's set up either, right? Now, for example, this bill that I'm looking at, right, says customer charge $10, energy first 150 kilowatt hour at 15 cents per kilowatt hour, 22.50. Second, 126 kilowatts at 0.176 per kilowatt hour, $22.18. Right? So that's $10 customer charge, first energy charge, $22.50, second energy charge, $22.18, fuel, $98.76. So as I said, that's the largest portion of the bill that I'm looking at, right?
And that is where I have my problem.
So I understand that's where you have your problem. I'm just telling you that's where most people, that's why I said, read the bill, see whether it's using more electricity or whether there's a change in the fuel charge.
So I won't go no further today, Mrs. Johnson. It's some boy that's scared.
All right, sir. No problem. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Someone said from the information received that no transactions are paid at the customs pending the adjustment. That's one. Another message here says, good morning. I've been calling 430-7670, 430-7671 to schedule an appointment for a police certificate, and I'm being told the mailbox is full. 11:15 on a Monday morning, the mailbox is full. Can you tell me if it's the right number? If I do have the right number, tell them on air to clear the voicemail so I can schedule my appointment. Came back to me and said, finally got through, and the appointment is in August. It says a lot now. Madness. Imagine applying for a job that requires a certificate of character. You have a week deadline or a 2 week deadline, and you can't get an appointment until August. Yep. That, sir, is called the ease of doing business, and that is why we take licks, because we are a little behind the curve, or a lot behind the curve, depending on who we're coming up against. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Yes, ma'am.
Hey. I didn't call to talk about this, but those persons who prepare the police certificate, they're policemen?
I know they have attached to the police department, ma'am. I can't say whether they are or they are not. I have not been there in a while, so I don't have that information.
If so, then I'm just suggesting that maybe they need to outsource that service. I don't see the need to be policemen, because they have a shortage of policemen too. All right. Okay. I called about 2 weeks ago. I just want to make some statements and move on. I called about 2 weeks ago about the $40+ put place on water, and a lady calling. I was speaking to Mr. Wickham, And she calling all vexed and hot because of what I said. I'm just clearing ear that I am willing to pay to help the country, but I was just saying that it was a bit steep. If you have $1,000 a month and it's already maxed out, it may not be hard for her to pay hers. But there are people who, if they're maxed out, $40 is a lot. That's all I want to say. The Christian lady who called late last week about the homosexual issue, she begun by saying she's a Christian. And a gentleman called in and said, as soon as he hear people begin saying that they are Christians, he wrote them off. The LGBT movement, you can't tell people how to live their lives. And God is the final judge. So I don't go along with all the dire criticism of them and so on. But there are certain things that they want, and they declare who they are, right? So if somebody calls, I am also a Christian, and sometimes when I want to make a point, I will say, I am a Christian, because I want you to know where I'm coming from. Christians are not perfect. We are trying to do the best that we can with what God has revealed to us. So I see absolutely nothing wrong with the lady saying she is a Christian. I don't think, she didn't talk about burning them in hellfire or anything like that. So the guy, I'm thinking the same way that the LGBT, they have come out, they state who they are. Other persons also have their opinion, as long as they're not seeking to harm or injure these persons. They can state what they believe. Right? We all have an opinion about life and everything. All right.
Okay. I was waiting to hear the other one. I was going to ask you a question too, but I just heard a click, which means your phone has given out on you. Yo, ma'am, I want to say to you, there are people who say insults are not given, they're taken. I'm sure there are times when people have said something to you and you've taken it one way, and they would come back to you and say, you know, I didn't mean it in that way. So there are some people who will feel uncomfortable when people say, and the guy explained it, he said he gets the impression that when people say that, they're saying they're better than you are. Now, you may say that's not what you mean, but that's the way he takes it. I remember saying on air once that most of the people who told me that I'm going to burn in hell usually tell me before they tell me that they're Christian, and I usually just say, okay then, thank you, my friend. I also said there was a gentleman who said he was a pastor and he wanted to help me because of my condition. And he said, the only way I could help you with your condition is if you confess and tell me what sin you commit that made God strike you down with this evil condition that you have. And I just looked at him and said, thank you to my friend, because I don't see it as being me struck down for any evil that I've done. Or perhaps I've done it and I don't know. So sometimes you take offense because of what people have said to you before, the manner in which it's said, or how you hear it. I take your point. Thanks for sharing with us. This is Dr. Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Good morning to you, sir.
And to you, too.
How are you?
I am good. And you?
I can take you back a couple callers ago, back to your pet peeve, tourism. And I want to say first, any house, any building is strong as its foundation. And I think we are reaping some of the benefits now. The foundation relay in the 70s and the 80s from tourism, when tourism was blooming.
Blooming.
I just tell people, I've seen life in this country beautiful. I remember living in a rent house in those days. They rent with a lady, which is my wife today. And I was working at Barbados Beach, which is now Crystal Cove, as union delegate. And I tell the fellas, you see this job? I tired of this now. I going home and get a job in the next 2 weeks. And Dennis, I were able to do that. And then went paradise. I went on there, applied to McKeever. And I know you would know Mr. McKeever. And went back home and started to work the next day for another 7 years, which took me to 1983. And I did down with that. And I'm saying in those days, Dennis, when you hear hotel workers was very proud, and the pocket used to be full of
all
money.
All the time, man. You know, men that used to change their cars for cash every 18 months.
Full of money, Dennis. I tell you, we used to go at places like Millie's dance houses, and when a hotel man got a dance, especially at Paradise, we would tell the guys, Dennis Johnson dance this Saturday, I want $25. Even maids that would come would put $25 without thinking twice. Mm-hmm. And we go in there, and but I kiss a beer, I kiss this, I kiss that, 6 bottles of whiskey, 6 bottles of brandy, and that kind of stuff. And then the bar closed about midnight, you tell the lady or whoever cooking food, bring the pot. Put the pot there. And she grumbling. We go on to the phone and say, man, tell she that we tell you buy pot. No, but not she come check calls.
Cost or nothing.
Yeah. What money? Nothing. So people like, that's like Patsy and Bass's Road and Colin.
Yeah.
You know, and there were the days. And I'm saying, so I will go back now a little bit and say, when I say the foundation is strong as is, a house is strong as foundation. And then there's the tourist had places and places and places to go.
Ooh.
I mean, it was the Pepper Pot, it was the Island Inn, it was this place. It was, you know, you could have just named it. It was the discos and everything, mm-hmm. and everything was swinging. And
the South Coast.
And people used to enjoy. People
the South Coast was a place to go. So, you see, when you talk about those days, and I want people to understand this clearly, and which is why I said, once people feel they're getting more than they pay for, they won't complain. You talk about the hotel industry. I told people, I started to work at Paradise for $900 a month plus points. And for a year, I didn't touch the $900. I left out of points. I lived on points. Me and a nice lady, according to you, shared a nice little humble abode, and we'd be quite happy on points because they were good. Anyway.
You know, and like coming up to dinner time, a guest want a table alongside the seat, or you know, guests will give you anything for a table on the edge of the dining room.
Mm-hmm.
Can you keep that table for me? And you see, going half full up.
It's not empty. It's not empty.
$20 to just reserve that table.
Yeah.
For him, you know what I mean? He's the one the boys can't sit down there.
I know that.
So I am saying, when I hear the Honourable Prime Minister say I was there, because I still very much have a great respect for tourism, and I hope she don't kill the goose that lady go tonight.
I agree.
And to see Sandra Papers where they were saying, you know, people complaining and thing all through London and thing.
Yeah.
And I tell persons, you see where the sewage, it might be gone now, or getting ready to go. The seaweed, because they drove down at Miami Beach just to look, Dennis. And you know, you ever hear about seaweed, but that was in my wildest imagination. I could not imagine. You see, suburb with you know, like if you got a pond and you try to fill it with dirt, that's how down Miami Beach standy water, about nearly 100 yards out in the sea, just suburb. With seaweed in Miami Beach. And, you know, so when we got a bag about our beaches and sand, I know that's an act of God. But at the same time with that, the seaweed and no increased prices, I don't know what's going to happen. And I know that Barbados can be more effective with the Christchurch problem next year than this year, because people were already on the island. Yeah. And so forth. So
that's where PR comes in. That's where you put your best foot forward, and that's where you try using your what you call your repeat visitors to try to gather them around you. Barbados has a reputation that we have to maintain, and you talked about people coming here and going to various nightclubs, discotheques, enjoying the island. If you drive around the island as a visitor and your driving experience is not a good one because of either bad driving habits on the road, poor road conditions, if you have a situation where your hotel room is not to your liking, you think your food bill is too high, you leave with an overall bad impression of the island.
Yeah.
You won't leave with a bad impression of X Coast or Y Coast, A Hotel or B Hotel. You will leave with an overall bad impression of the island. So your impression of the island has to start from arrival at the airport, the taxi that takes you to your destination, the condition of your room, how people treat you every day, and that's what is going to drive it. If people Google, everybody believes that Mr. Google is God. So if people Google Barbados, and the first thing that pops up on Barbados is bad news. The image of your island is tarnished. Whether that bad news is hotel rate, sargassum seaweed, smelly South Coast, whatever it is. You have to make sure that when people hit Google and Barbados, they get a good impression. If they don't get a good impression, as we say in local parlance or in Caribbean parlance, crapo, smoke your pipe. So, and that's the truth. And you said we built on a solid foundation from years gone by. We can't destroy it now. Cannot. Yeah. Cannot.
I read a talk about spending is down. I mean, the prices we may spend on, I was fortunate to go up on a good travel and go up on a good few cruises. Mm-hmm. And when you go to the other islands and St. Martin and those, and you leave prices down there. You know, then it's left a lot of desire. People that buy something from Barbados because they want to prove they went to Barbados. But if you don't spend, it's going to be down. But I remember speaking to you over the phone, because you're the only person that's actually speaking to really. I remember speaking to you over the phone when I tell you I will take that strip and traverse Hideaway. You remember that conversation? Right. And keep like a day party down there when the ships is in. And I could still see that Dennis is, you know, a money earner. Former president, not really, but as Mr. Thompson called it, a cash cow.
A cash cow.
Because I could imagine, because as I stepped my way for the time, Black people culture is so different to white people culture. When a black person on a ship, he get off, he want to know where this story is, and he going shopping. White people just want to relax, go and drink, go to the beach and lay down. And if you could get, not the one person, about a little mini Kaduma down there with about 6 to 8 stalls and music, soca music and thing, and play from there from 10 till 6 till the ship ready to last. You're Ellis money, Mr. Johnson.
Sir, I have to tell you, the question of attractions, we have to work on it. Have to. And advertising, all you need, right, is somebody enjoying a cold Banks beer, nice looking background, as you say, with activity and action happening, and say, this is Barbados. I am here enjoying it. What's that, 10 seconds? A 10-second ad. 10 seconds. That's all. And you keep flashing it in their face in the midst of either heat wave or winter or people shooting in schools or whatever it is. Hey, this is Barbados. I am enjoying it. 10 seconds. Sometimes less is more. And you sell. But if when you come, you get sargassum and bad treatment, then it goes out the window. Brastax, thanks for sharing, sir. Always a pleasure talking to you. Brastax, good morning. 4341790, Brastax, good morning. I guess you've been holding for a while, so, football Hello. May be catching your attention. Yes, good morning. Speaking to you, sir, go ahead.
Hello, is it me that you're speaking to?
That's right.
Right. My name is Jeffrey Hart, and I have been listening to the call-in program over the past 6 months or so, attentively, because there were important matters being discussed. And I listen as carefully as I may, I have not heard anybody address the problem that we have. We talk all around about who did what and that. None of that matters. The fact of the matter is that we as Barbadians have been living above our means for the last 10 years. And we've been doing it on borrowed money. People have refused now to lend us money. And we have to drop our standard of living. And you can talk around that and nibble at the edges and backwards and forwards and talk about them. The this and bar, bar. The fact of the matter is that nobody is willing to lend us money. And we have, therefore, to adjust our standard of living to what we can afford. And that is as simple as it can be. I don't take no economics professor. Those are the facts. And when the previous prime minister said that he didn't understand the importance of the downgrades, the importance of the downgrades is that people no longer are willing to lend us money. And that's as simple as I can get up from this chair and walk to my refrigerator. That's the end of news. All the talk backwards and forwards is just froth on the ocean wave.
Okay, sir. Well, it has been said on the program that what we need to do is start earning our keep and earning more. And you've put it bluntly. The challenge is someone took issue with saying living beyond their means. I think the caller who was the first caller today made that point some time ago. He doesn't like the term living beyond the means. I tried to explain it to him. He told me he didn't like it anyhow. And the second thing is, you see that comment you made about the reduction in the standard of living? I don't think anybody would like to see that happen. And that's why, but you are correct. We've spent more than we've earned. If they don't like the term living beyond our means, we've spent more than we've earned. And now we have to start earning because we can't keep borrowing. That's a good way to put it. Brass Tacks, good morning. Brass Tacks, good morning. Hello.
Hey, Dennis, a very good morning to you.
And to you too, sir.
How are you doing?
I'm doing all right, and you?
I'm not too bad, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
How many years do you work at Paradise?
About six, five or six.
Six?
Yeah, about five or six well, years.
Yeah. Yeah, I know you're rich every since, man.
No, I ain't sell out myself, so let me tell you, man.
Pull your legs, man.
No, you can pull my leg all you want because you ever hear about living within your means?
Uh-huh.
You ever heard about living within your means?
Of
good.
Course,
when
of
I
course.
Worked there, I lived within my means. The nice lady made sure that I kept within my means.
Yeah. my grandmother always saying that. She says, never put your hat where you can't reach it. And she said, it's best to have than to want. It's best to say here it's not very easy.
No, but sir, let me just say this to you, In a lot of cases, right?
Mm-hmm.
We talk about one of the previous callers mentioned ZR drivers and talk about indiscipline. In a lot of cases we are indisciplined.
Uh-huh.
I remember a good friend of mine saying to me, if you make $1,000 a month and you're living comfortably on $1,000 a month, if you start getting $1,500, don't start living at $1,500.
Yeah.
Stay at $1,000 for a while. And see, it was good advice, and I took it.
Yeah. Now, Dennis.
But sometimes we need to get the advice.
Yeah, that's true. I want to compliment you a million times again for the statement you made on Friday. Now, this is regarding transport, and I got no fooling around with this here no more. The bottom line is this: you've just made a suggestion to the same ministry that runs transport. If they were listening, it's a good suggestion. Sometime back, a gentleman called this program. He made a very good suggestion. Back in the times with Tony Marshall and Father Hatch, I made a lot of suggestions. And I can say something here now. The forces, police, soldiers, nurses, everybody, they have to comply with the rules. Based on when a police cannot go on duty unless he's well dressed. Because he has to fall in line.
Mm-hmm.
Good. How can we implement seatbelt law and cell phones law and get them enforced right away? But for years and years, you cannot put a system in place to get this sector operating properly. I find it amusing. Because as far as I'm concerned, what makes up the transport network of this country is the omnibus, minibus, ZRs, and Zs. What is so wrong in bringing everybody under one umbrella? Whereby, you're saying the omnibus to long haul routes, the minibus to the less distance route, and the ZRs to the short haul routes, and have them run it on a time system. Have the area cleaned up. You remember, I don't know if you recall back in the times when you had the old concessionaries, like the Elite and the
tapered out in my youth, but yeah, I used to hop them when I was young.
Right, and they had to come into an area, even if there were three buses, there were one behind the next, and they were running on a time system. You would get to 10 o'clock, all right, and then you'll go at 10:30, and then you'll go at 11, and you're having this kind of problem. I can't for the life of me understand why you cannot get this thing working properly.
Sir, because of two things. One, because there are no options, and you, therefore, they're almost a monopoly. And two, you've allowed them to ride roughshod for so long that you can't have a big enough rope to pull them back in. That's the problem. So look, let's walk back through transportation for a second. If you just got a second, I'll try and run it quickly.
Mm.
Remember, when the ZRs first went into operations, they were Z taxis that started operating as buses because mm-hmm. they had Suzuki vans.
Right.
They then put in a back seat and started taking more passengers and charging people bus fares. Okay? Mm-hmm. A lot of them right. worked the Silver Sands route. Those yep. used to take six. So let's say you had 100 of them, each had six seats. That's only 600 people you were transporting. Those people then went to larger vehicles and you kept the same number. So you now had 100 vehicles, now with 21 seats each instead of just six seats. And then you started increasing the numbers on the routes. And mm-hmm. then you had people going off route. And then mm-hmm. you decided to paint them all one color because you thought that would manage them. Now, mm-hmm. if you saw a bus that was a different color, you in a wrong route, you would know immediately that it was off route because it's a wrong color. Trinidad, I know you know, mm-hmm. have green band and yellow band and red band. So mm-hmm. it's easy to spot a bus that's off route if they're colored banded. In the Bahamas and in mm-hmm. Grenada too, I know both fairly well, the way the minibus stand is set up, the drivers didn't like it at first, but the way they're set up, you come down a chute, so you can't back out.
Can't back out.
So when you go to the third bus down the line, the man says to you, go to the bus up front, because the only way you can get out is if the man up front goes. Exactly. So they regulate themselves because they know that's how they get on the road. And they realize they were making more money that way.
But you are right, you know, Dennis, when you say the situations by letting them get a hand.
Yeah.
Because even back then when I spoke to you on Friday, then some person said in the St. Lucie area where they were getting problems, run up to 12 o'clock, and some guy called and said, well, it's a business, and then 7 o'clock, they get, or 3 o'clock, they're going home and what's not. Utter nonsense. You are given a permit to operate up to 12
X
o'clock.
X time or wait time.
I tell you something, no. Mm-hmm. Let's say after 7 o'clock. I just joined us. Let's say after 7 o'clock. And they say, okay, we will let you operate now to charge $5 a head.
Mm-hmm.
That's
what I said.
Home?
Sir, I don't think so, which is why I say. And somebody sent a message via WhatsApp telling me, no, but somebody sent a message to WhatsApp telling me, so you mean that the person working at the gas station, they're working till 11 o'clock, got to pay more to go home? Yes, unfortunately, they will have to because you call. No. That's why you ask for a hazard allowance. That's why you work out with your people how you get that done. So there are ways around this if we sit down and we think with our heads.
It can be solved in 2 days, Dennis.
I think it could be if we want to solve it, but I don't think we want to solve it.
The ministry will have to sit down and get it worked out. Now, quickly, Dennis, mm-hmm. you had a gentleman calling about the light bill.
Mm-hmm.
I want to raise that. I mean, after sufficient time, mm-hmm. unless I hold on. Mm-hmm. No, because I got some problems with the light and power billing.
Mm-hmm.
And I have some problems with the water authority billing. Let me explain. Now, you are telling me that on fuel, you are going to charge me 0.357825 multiplied by the amount of current I use.
Right.
The energy I use. No. Mm-hmm. And no one from the power will say, well, and there. Initial stages, they had to spend $12 million in the fuel. And calculated mathematically, across the board, we will now break it down so that each customer will pay 0.1% of it. Nobody now said, introduce this. And every bill I come across is this amount. It fluctuates a little, whereby sometimes you drop it like 0.249 and all them kind of things. But the bottom line to me is, when you charge across the board, the amount of people that have electricity in their homes, and you calculate how much money they'll be making.
So I think there are three issues with the cost of generation. One, I don't think we as consumers have any control over which generators are put into operation at what point, for whatever period, and at whatever cost.
But that is true too.
And until we get to that anything but else then the falls. Turbines. Then any well, there are some old turbines, but they also have the high speed ones. They use higher grade fuel and so on. The thing is, I think when the Barbados Light and Power Company, I'll again say that they're pretty good at their PR. When they outline their vision for electricity generation, transmission, and the cost of maintenance and how they put it into operation, when those things are shared with the public, I think the public will have a better understanding. Maybe they won't accept everything they are told, but they'll have a better understanding of why their bills fluctuate. Because I once asked someone, if I lived in a two-bedroom, one-bathroom house, two fluorescent lights, one in the bedroom, one in the kitchen, I didn't have none in the front house because I don't use that often. And that's all I burn. Why should I pay more during the summer months because somebody else running 10 fans or Christmas when everybody light up their house? Because it's the overall cost that pushes my bill up. And they gave me an explanation. I said, ah, well, poor me. I'll have to go away during those months. But that's the question that I get asked by the old lady who calls to say, you know, I have the same light burning all the time and I pay more money because it's Christmas or because it's August. Yeah. Anyway, Regional Roundup is next. Stay with us as we continue this, the Monday edition of Dr. Brass Tacks.